This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on ESPN Plus. Barton Hahn is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can tweet to me and Bart at BartScott57 at Amber W Sports. I'm Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. We, of course, are taking you up until 3 o'clock Eastern, and that means it is the third hour, Bart, which means what?
That means, Amber, for the first time of us being together, it's the power hour.
It's my first time seeing that happen live and seeing how Bart Scott creates that magic live here on the radio.
Diaphragm,
it is not a recording, folks. That is Bart Scott doing that each and every day. So thanks for joining us here on Bart and Hahn. We are in the midst of taking your phone calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is July in sports. That means things on sports radio, like, is Jimmy Butler a superstar or not? That argument breaks out. And that's what happened between me and Bart Scott randomly earlier in the show. A lot of people on the call-in line want to join in. Roland is in Arkansas. Roland, what do you got for me?
To say that Jimmy Butler is a superstar is completely ludicrous.
Thank you.
Okay, really? I mean, you got to expand on that more, Roland.
Thank
you can't
so
just
much.
Call me ludicrous without anything to back it up. Why would that be ludicrous?
Hold on. The word superstar is thrown around too much. There's not a kid in the backyard right now throwing up jump shots saying, Jimmy, no, it was Jordan. It's LeBron. It's Kevin Durant. Michael Jordan. Nobody's doing that with him. He's a great player. I can go as far as saying Zion Williams is better than Jimmy Butler.
Okay, yeah. All right. We got to pod down this call, Devin. Zion Williamson doesn't play basketball. So first and foremost, like, we're not even going to have that conversation. I have no idea how good Zion is.
We're talking about ceilings, right? And Jimmy Butler in his best day. And listen, some guys are getting more out of their body than other people do. Some guys are more talented, but I would say Jimmy Butler, his ceiling is a lot lower. His floor is pretty.
The Jimmy Butler's 32 years old. Like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is the
his
best
ceiling
he's ever
is
be.
Lower potentially because right. the potential for Zion, but it's, that's all it is with Zion is potential. It's Jimmy who's taken a team.
Well, in 5 years we may have a different conversation.
He's ruined the NBA finals twice in the last three years.
He's ruined a couple of his teams too. You know, he became a Malcontent. He took Chicago.
Listen, if you're such a great player, drought to the postseason. He was Joel Embiid's best running mate Embiid has ever had.
Okay.
With the 76ers. What team has Jimmy Butler ruined? Where did they go? They tried to retain Jimmy, and he rode out and went to Miami.
If they love him so much, he's been four destinations.
Well, they do love him so much. He chose to leave the last destination.
They hate him in Minnesota. They hated him, like trying to fight everybody, calling everybody soft.
Don't forget. Well, that's
not sharing,
true.
Not sharing his coffee
because he doesn't have any time for the guys who are high picks that don't put in the work.
And then he was about to get them paws put on him by Udonis Haslem. Was about to put them paws on him. So let's not see. Like, he might be getting a PO box or temporary mail in Miami for right now because Udonis Haslem, who they gonna bring back? But about to put ask him with the five fingers say to the face.
Nobody seems to be on my side. Mark is in Ohio. Somehow Mark is also not on my side. Mark, why is Jimmy Butler not a superstar?
Because I think you're just playing devil's advocate right now, because I believe in your heart you know he's not a superstar. Superstars don't get forgotten during the regular season. Who in their right mind says Jimmy Butler is a league MVP during a regular season? He's forgotten. You don't even realize he's in Miami until the playoff. He's not a superstar. That's a problem from
the national landscape, Mark, because that team was the one seed all season long. So the fact that they weren't getting the respect and the cred, they were on top of the Eastern Conference the entire season long. Yes, you're right. He was not part of the MVP discussion during the regular season. That man absolutely put up MVP caliber numbers in the postseason.
It's this game I love to play. But is Jokic a superstar, by the way?
Is Jokic a superstar?
Like, we're talking MVPs, caliber for superstar, because a lot of people would say no.
Jokic is a superstar.
He put up numbers in a stat line that has never been done in the history of this game.
I don't disagree, but a lot of people would not put Jokic on that list.
So let's play that game. Who would you rather? I love that game. It's one of my favorite games to play. Let's play who would you rather. Would you rather start your franchise right now with Jimmy Butler or Jason Tatum?
Oh, easy for me if they're the same age. It's Jimmy Butler.
No, I'm saying right
you
now.
You can't. No, you can't do right now.
No,
Jimmy
no,
Butler's
no,
32
no, no,
years
no, no,
old. Jason
right,
Tatum's what, 25
okay, okay,
or something?
Okay. Would you rather start your team with
I don't,
Steph
Jason
Curry?
Jason Tatum's overrated.
With Steph
I'm
Curry.
Sorry, but
would you
Jason
rather start?
Tatum
would you rather
actually,
start? Okay, would you rather start your franchise with Steph Curry? You ain't even got to debate. You don't care how old he is. You're like, yes, Steph Curry. Yes, Kevin Durant. Like, okay, who would you
rather?
Okay,
fine. I'll put those two guys above Jimmy Butler.
Okay,
it's a short list.
Okay, Joel Embiid.
It's a short list.
Joel Embiid.
Okay, fine. It's a short list.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Also on the list.
Okay. I'm going to go with you even more. Kawhi Leonard.
Right. Kawhi's a better player than Jimmy Butler.
Okay, Dame Lillard.
Man needs to actually play basketball.
Dame Lillard.
No. See, this is where we go off the rails. Is
Dame
when we're talking
Dollar
about some,
is
when we're talking
office.
About Dame. Is he? He's
Dame
box office.
Dollar.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's fun to watch. What does it actually get, where does it actually get them though? Does it actually result in the finals appearances and in the championships and the conference titles?
Okay, Jokic.
So no, Jimmy.
Sorry,
Jimmy.
Okay, Jokic.
Well, yeah, all right. But, I mean, first of all, age factor,
no,
and then Jokic is a back-to-back MVP.
Okay, Devin Booker.
Okay, so here's the thing. It would be Jimmy.
Yo, but?
Again, there's an age factor there. Even
no,
with Jason Tatum.
We're talking today. Okay, Luka Doncic.
Oh, well, that's...
I mean, I can keep going. I can keep going. LeBrick James.
LeBron is like 110 years old.
No, I'm just saying one season, LeBrick James. I'm saying next season.
All right, LeBron's the greatest player of our generation. The answer is obviously going to be LeBron.
Now we
get Devin Booker is a question mark.
No,
Devin Booker's a question mark.
Okay,
Lillard's
so
a no.
Okay.
Jason Tatum's a no. What did Jason Tatum do in the NBA Finals compared to what Jimmy Butler had done in the NBA Finals two seasons before that?
He sent his ass home, though. But he sent Jimmy Buckets home in a head-to-head.
Somebody's got to save me. Ruben, you're in Florida. You're in Florida where I am. In Florida, you've got to be my savior here, Ruben.
Yes, man. Hey, good afternoon. Bart, you're a habitual line stepper.
You know
I
am.
Getting the question mixed up. We didn't say the top 10 players in the NBA. We said the top. Is he a superstar? Jimmy Buckets is a superstar. As a matter of fact, he's going to be known as superstar porn star Jimmy from now on.
You use a superstar star
loosely. Hold on now. Miami Heat has been number one in the NBA in the East. When's the last time a superstar has left? And I'm talking about LeBron James leaving Miami. Mm-hmm. When was the last time a superstar left a team in the next five seasons, they in the playoffs? Not in the playoffs, but the number one team in their division.
Okay, that's because you had a COVID outbreak and injuries break loose in Milwaukee.
You tap dancing. Jimmy Buckets is the reason the Miami Heat are where they are. It ain't Bam Adebayo. It ain't Kyle Lowry. Eric Spoelstra ain't shooting buckets. He's a good coach, but he ain't shooting buckets.
Jimmy
Butler is the reason that they were in the NBA Finals in 2020.
Did they win it?
We're not talking about superstar in the sense of
we're talking about superstar.
Got his name on billboards and lights, and you can build your team around.
We're talking about game.
Jimmy Bucket is
Bucket has the game. He is a beast. Point, Ruben.
He's not as blessed as Kyrie Irving. Like he can't do. It's nothing.
Play Bart Scott's game right now. Rather build a franchise around Scott, Kyrie Irving, or Jimmy Butler. Who is a bucket?
From a skill standpoint.
No, that's not what
Kyrie
I asked
Irving.
You.
Kyrie
that's
Irving
not
is
what
a better,
I asked you. Kyrie, Irv- Ky-
Kyrie Irving is a better player.
Okay. Who would you rather build a franchise around? Jimmy Butler or Kyrie Irving? Answer the question, Bart Scott.
Jimmy Butler, but I would have to go out and get a superstar.
Exactly.
I would have to go out and get a superstar.
Mic drop.
I would have to go out and get a superstar.
The audacity to throw Kyrie Irving into this conversation.
Kyrie Irving is one of the most gifted basketball players we have in the league. He's just a head case.
There is nobody who's interested right now in Kyrie Irving. If Jimmy Butler was on the trade block,
listen,
there'd be a whole
first
market.
First of all, I would argue that it's only five superstars in the league. We use superstar too loosely. It's only five superstars, I think, in the league. And I think that's LeBron.
Well, so if you're limiting superstar to five people, then fine. We could have the conversation. But if you want to throw like a Jason Tatum and Damian Lillard into the conversation for superstar, then Jimmy Butler is in the conversation for superstar.
I would say Jimmy Butler probably is like a like 18th or 19th as far as, well, or maybe 20th in as far as best player in the NBA.
All right, I can't. We need to take a timeout and go back to the NFL, because we're in the midst of ESPN Radio two-a-days right here on Bart and Hahn. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn alongside Bart Scott. So we will take our attention to the Carolina Panthers, a very well-timed NFL two-a-days here on ESPN Radio. Before we do, though, Bart is going to tell us about Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, not like Jimmy Butler, Granger is here. For you, and always there to help. Granger offers a lot of supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at 250 local branches. And you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down those hard-to-find items. Plus, Granger's commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facility safe and your people's even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop on by. We ain't got nothing to do.
This is ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days, the Carolina Panthers.
With the sixth pick, the Carolina Panthers select Ikem Ekwonu, tackle, North Carolina State.
You look at Sam as your starting quarterback?
Sam is our starting quarterback, yes. One of the things I've been working on is being better talking to you people. So, you know, announcing the starting quarterback here, I just put my foot in the mouth. That wasn't something I should have said.
Baker Mayfield has been moved by the Cleveland Browns. He was sent to one team that has issues in the quarterback room, or question marks at least, Carolina Panthers.
Interesting to see in Carolina if Baker can beat out Sam Darnold and be the week one starter. Oh, by the way, the Panthers open up with the Cleveland Browns.
There are a lot of question marks in Carolina, and now there's a big question mark at the quarterback position as well. There already would have been question marks with Sam Darnold starting, but now we don't even know who's going to end up being the starter with the entrance of Baker Mayfield. Obviously, their draft pick as well, Matt Corral, on that roster too. Bart Scott, what do you make? Who is going to be the week one starter for the Carolina Panthers? Let's start there.
I tell you what, the level of disrespect that Sam Darnold was taking already, when you go to the website, it's going to have Baker Mayfield as the starter. Like, do they know something? Did they say something? Did something get leaked? That's so disrespectful to the son of the Marlboro man. Like, listen, I think it's going to be Sam Darnold. I think ultimately, you know, the cream rise to the top, still sharpens steel, but he has an unfair advantage because he's been there for a year. He understands the terminology. You know, Baker Mayfield's getting in here before training camp. That is hard to get coached up. We're going to really test Baker Mayfield's football acumen when he has to step into this situation for him to be able to thrive. But you ask yourself, where are the Carolina Panthers? I think the Carolina Panthers are sitting about third within that division. The division is top heavy when you think about the New Orleans Saints and you think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But they did, I think, hit a home run when you think about Ekwonu. Ekwonu is a tremendous player, you know, capable of playing guard at a high level and tackle. He's going to play left tackle for them, which is going to give some security, because last year, neither quarterback, whether it was P.J. Walker, whether it was Cam Newton, or whether it was Sam Darnold, had any time to burp the baby. So now, you know, with a tremendous left tackle, you know, protecting your blind side, you get an opportunity to burp the baby. Now, also, last year's first-round draft pick is finally coming back when you think about J.C. Horn. You know, last year, being hurt, he was playing at a high level. Jeremy Chin, you know, my alum from Southern Illinois, is a tremendous up-and-coming safety. This is a team that last year could really get after the passer. You know, you think about Brian Burns and where he's been at. You know, I know they lost, Hassan Riddick in free agency, but, you know, you go out and you have Gross Matos. Shaq Thompson is finally starting to, you know, come into form. I just don't know where they are as far as being able to be an elite team and being able to take the next step. It all is contingent on, can McCaffrey be that guy that we saw early in his career that got him the $90 million contract, being able to be a thousand-yard receiver also, and, you know, being able to run for over 1,000 yards. Hasn't been able to stay healthy, and that's been a big problem with this team. You know, also Terrence Marshall Jr., I believe in, DJ Moore, and Robbie Anderson has that connection with Sam Darnold from his days with the Jets and his 1,000-yard performance that he's had a couple years ago.
He hates Baker being on that team. You remember those tweets?
Yeah, exactly. And he can't take that back. But, you know, I think, you know, this team's going to have to show a level of maturity. And I think if they don't win at least 7-8 games, if they're not knocking at the door for the playoffs, you know, I think that, you know, maybe Matt Rhule's going to lose his job and be one of the first fires of the new ownership group. C.J. Henderson was brought in as well to play cornerback for them. You know, they went out and got a lot of guys, and it didn't really pan out. Lost a tremendous tight end in McDonald to Jacksonville for making a trade for a player that's not even, you know, CJ Henderson is still there, but they seemingly traded for a corner every other week, and none of the two of those guys aren't even on the roster. So with all that being said, the forecast is not looking too good out there in Bojangles country, but I think that Matt Rhule may save his job. Maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
There's a lot of pressure on that team because we know Matt Rhule is in the hottest seats. Obviously, the situation with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, you're talking about two quarterbacks that are trying to save their entire NFL careers as starters. I mean, there is a lot of they're getting Christian McCaffrey back, who's their biggest offensive weapon, fine. But there are a lot of question marks on what it's all going to look like. I do want to discuss this angle of the Baker Mayfield story, though, because I know you're one who's down on Baker. I think Baker will end up being the starter there eventually. I'm with you. I think it's Sam initially because he has such a head start. Baker comes in July. Sam Darnold's not going to help Baker learn the playbook, like you said, because they're in competition. So that creates a weird dynamic in the locker room with each other. Why would Sam Darnold help Baker Mayfield in any way when he knows that Baker could supplant him in terms of his NFL career being on the line, at least as a starting quarterback? But I do wonder what your opinion is, since you're down on Baker, but what is your opinion about Baker giving back so much of his salary in order to facilitate this trade? Because it seems like Baker wanted to be in Carolina. Let's not get it confused. The Browns are paying $10.5 million. The Panthers are paying $4.85 million. He was owed $18.8 million. You don't have to be good at math to figure out there that Baker got rid of some of his incentives and decided to eat it. At least for now, he can get those back on the back. And does he get enough credit for that?
Well, no, because that's the only play he had. He had to eat that, right? Because he has to understand that we're playing musical chairs, and the chairs are starting to run out. You think about, you know, C.J. Stroud. You think about Bryce Young. They're going to come in, occupy two or three franchises' seats next year. So now you're going to have the guys that used to be starters kind of sitting out there, whether you think of Mitchell Trubisky, who, you know, they drafted a quarterback, his replacement in Pittsburgh. When you go down, you think about Marcus Mariota. You know, that's two guys that have started in this league that have won playoff games in this league that are potentially are going to be available. Ryan Tannehill next year, right? When you think about they drafted his replacement and his cap number is starting to get high. So, like, Baker Mayfield understood that if he was going into a whole season where he didn't play football, then he hits that market, he's only going to sign a cheap veteran minimum type of one-year deal because – you know, if he doesn't come down to a reasonable number, you look up, you just say, okay, well, I'll take Mitchell Trubisky, I'll take Marcus Mariota, I'll take a run potentially at Jameis Winston, you know, I'll take a run at one of these retread guys like Ryan Tannehill that's going to be available, or Jimmy G, who's still out there. I'll take a retread next year. So if you look at that, there's potentially six starting quarterbacks that's going to be available. You know, you might add Carson Wentz to that as well. If he doesn't play well, he's going to be on his last leg. You can add Danny Dimes potentially if he doesn't play well in the Giants. So look at the pool in which, you know, you look at Baker Mayfield. And out of all those pieces that I talk about, it's three things that don't age well about Baker Mayfield. He's short, he's slow, and he doesn't have arm strength. And that never ages well in the NFL.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN's NFL reporter, was on KJM, and he said that he thinks Baker giving back those incentives shows an incredible amount of maturity.
Come on, man.
I didn't get the sense that they were really coming to the table on this. You know, they were always, to me, lurking in the background, no matter what anybody said, that they would have shown some level of interest if it came down to it. But so would many other teams if, for instance, Cleveland said we're either releasing him or we're going to pay, you know, $15 million of the $18 million. That just wasn't happening. And Carolina, as we know all along, was probably, I don't want to call him the most desperate, but pretty friggin' desperate. You know what I mean? So that is ultimately what got it done. And I didn't get the sense that Seattle was necessarily in the mix in the final days.
It shows me that Baker wanted out of Cleveland, that Baker didn't want to play this game, that he wants to get somewhere else, that he wants to prove himself, and then he wanted to get to Carolina. I mean, it does show me those things.
Yeah.
As much as people want to pile on Baker for the immaturity, like, there is an element of maturity.
He had no self-awareness. That's the reason that he's in his position, because he thought that he was going to be a guy that was going to push and ask for $35 to $40 million, so he kind of bet on himself. If Baker Mayfield would have went to them before last season and said, you know what, I'm willing to sign a team-friendly deal. I recognize that I am not a great top 10 quarterback, that I need great players around me. And to do that, I have to leave some money on the table, like Colin Kaepernick did, like Andy Dalton did, like other quarterbacks in this league that know that they're not top-tier guys, like Ryan Tannehill did, like Colin Kaepernick did when he signed his deal with San Francisco when he was a young player coming off of a Super Bowl appearance. Sometimes you have to have self-awareness. You know, certain conversations and certain statements are made for elite players that they can say that you can't say. Like Lamar Jackson can bet on himself because he's an elite talent. We all recognize that. Baker Mayfield is a solid quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with being Alex Smith-type quarterback. There's nothing wrong with being a Kirk Cousins-type quarterback. But you can't speak like an elite quarterback if your resume and what we see on film doesn't suggest that.
Well, right now he's betting on himself again, I guess, by giving up some of those incentives, may get them back. He's also, of course, betting on himself to save his career here as an NFL starter. So we will see what happens with Baker Mayfield in Carolina.
Like
but
Nielsen.
Coming up next, we are going to go. I roll my eyes, by the way, when you're talking about the things that don't age well with quarterbacks, the short, the lack of arm strength. I felt like you were describing, I'm a Dolphins fan. I felt like you were describing Tua Tagovailoa. I was like, oh,
yeah, that is Tua.
When you were describing the things that don't
age
well.
He throws pretty balls.
Oh, goodness. Anyways, coming up, we are going to go back to your phone calls. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, we're going to break down why there seems to be no suitors for Kyrie Irving. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Barton Hahn is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn today. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. Any relation to Zach Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll tell you in a few years, depending how his career pans out. Right now,
no. I don't know.
But in a few years, if he ends up looking like the next guy, I'll start claiming he's my cousin. We have been getting to your phone calls, 888-ZESPN. A lot of you want to chime in on whether Jimmy Butler is a superstar, a conversation that Bart and I fell into during the show. But there's other things to talk about in the NBA. So before we get back to the callers, I want to mention this, because according to Brian Windhorst, Bart, no one is bidding for the Kyrie. Like, the market seems to not be there. The Lakers apparently aren't even seemingly aggressive when it comes to trying to make something happen to obtain Kyrie. There was a report for a moment there that mentioned Philadelphia and Dallas might have interest. That report got shot down in unison by those teams. Brian Windhorst says on Get Up this morning that the market is just not active for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of bidders here. And it's not to imply that Kyrie isn't a highly talented player who can can uplift a team. We know that that is the case under certain circumstances, and the chances of him actually maybe being more focused this year are higher because it's the last year of his contract. But with what's gone on the last 2 years and with Kyrie being able to leave after a year if he wants to, there's just not bidders beyond the Lakers. And then there's the issue that he makes $37 million. It is not simple to trade for a player who makes $37 million. There might even be teams out there that if he was making less could assemble a trade. So the Lakers know this. The Lakers are going to lowball the Nets, and obviously that has happened so far, because they know they are bidding against themselves.
So it seems like maybe the Lakers are still a little bit interested, but there's just not a reason for them to move on this right now. Do you think the Lakers, if it's Kyrie and it's still AD and LeBron, and they can move Russ's contract in that deal for Kyrie... Do you think that wins a championship for the Lakers?
No, I don't think it wins a championship, because I think at the end of the day, you can't trust two of those components. Can't trust Kyrie, who knows he's not only a guy that can get interested or distracted by world issues or things that are going on within his life. He's also a guy that hasn't been able to stay healthy, you know, a lot of years in his career. And then you add that with Anthony Davis, who hasn't been able to be healthy, you know, in seasons and recent past. It's always something, and he'll say, well, he can't control falling on somebody's ankle, but it's always something, and so certain players are just like that. And LeBron James has only played 55 games in the last two seasons because he's 38 years old and Father Time is undefeated, and because he has to have such a high usage rate, you know, he's going to be in there, and he's going to wear down. So I think what they're saying is, we'll trade our headache for Kyrie Irving for a one-for-one, because who wouldn't want to take Kyrie Irving, his skill set, over Russell Westbrook, who wasn't a great model citizen last year with the Lakers and his relationship with the media and his relationship with Frank Vogel not being able to be benched and having to be in the starting lineup and all those type of things. I don't think it makes them, you know, remotely even number one in that division or opportunity to win a championship. It would have to be perfect scenario for them to even be in the rumblings to be in the championship.
Well, it wouldn't be a straight up one for one, though, because why on earth?
I think they would have to add Joe Harris. They would dump Joe Harris' contract with them because they're unhappy.
No, but why would the Nets want to take any of it on unless it included that 2027 first, which is exactly what I'm sure the Nets are asking for, right? And that's probably the sticking point right now with the Lakers. They've got the 2027 and 2029. Right. Now, I would imagine the Nets also are shopping around trying to find a first rounder that's sooner than that,
it's
right?
Because it's got to be a three-team trade, I think. They got to have to get a third team involved, somebody to take the contract, and somebody to get them that first-round draft pick that they want, and maybe take Joe Harris for a first-round draft pick or something like that. But for me, when I look at what's going on, I mean, worst-case scenario, what if you can't get a trade for Kevin Durant? If you want a number one superstar, if you want a Jaylen Brown type of superstar, teams aren't giving that up. So can these two guys coexist, and what happens if they can't find a trade? Does both of these players play, or do we have a John Wall paid to sit type of situation because they don't want to get one of these guys injured and not be able to get future assets?
Hold on. You just called Jaylen Brown a superstar?
I'm saying Jaylen Brown is 24 years old. Jaylen Brown put on a show. What I'm saying is that's the best superstar they can hope to get in return, a young ball handler in his prime.
Not a superstar. But
I'm not saying he's a superstar.
Yeah,
I'm saying he's the
budding
best star.
Budding
stars, yes.
Right. And
Jimmy Butler is who he is. Like,
and listen, that Celtics deal, if they were to trade with the Celtics for Kevin Durant, it would have to look more than just – I mean, it would probably be like Brown and Smart in that deal. And I'm the Celtics, I'm not
Brown and Robert Williams, right? I mean, Grant Williams. You know, him and Grant Williams, maybe throwing a pick in and then throwing three first-round draft picks.
But
you got your superstar, your young superstar – to kind of try and be like that's not a bad backcourt and Ben Simmons and Jaylen Brown, right? And now you just got to try and get another future superstar with one of those first round draft picks in the future. That's not starting over from scratch like they had to start over from scratch when Kevin Garnett left and Paul Pierce left. Like, this would be them getting a young superstar that they can build around. Arguably, you can talk about Jaylen Brown has been in the shadow of Jason Tatum when they should be viewed as the same type of player equally, not one above the other. Jaylen Brown showed up in the postseason, and I would be excited if I was the Brooklyn Nets about that.
At some point.
Right. Any other team, nobody's offering that. And the Nets don't want to get picks because the picks, they owe to Houston for James Harden.
Right. I think that the Nets, it seems like the Nets want to do both. It seems like the Nets want the picks for to try to build towards the future, but there is an issue there, obviously, with that Harden trade and what they owe there to Houston. But it seems like they do want picks, but it also seems like, to your point, that they want budding stars in return as well. So it's like they don't want to be terrible now, and also they want to be able to build for the future. And frankly, you should be able to do both of those things when you're talking about Kevin Durant.
You saw what Rudy Gobert got.
Right. Imagine what you could get for KD.
Exactly.
I mean, it's remarkable.
Outside of LeBron or Steph Curry being traded, it's no other comps to Kevin Durant being traded. He's arguably one of the greatest players to ever play in the game, and he's shown you, unlike Clay, that he's even better than he was before the injury. Because guess what? He can shoot. He can always get space. If he can't separate with his ball handling, he can separate with his height. Because
Kawhi
those that can stay in front
traded
of him.
Would be the only other one, right? But Kawhi,
no, but Kawhi
you're talking
didn't
about
have
final
4 years,
year of the
four,
deal.
Yeah, 4 years. So, on. Yeah.
We never see this. We never see the mega, mega, you know, second best player in the game get traded with 4 years left on the deal. You mentioned Gobert there. Wayne in New York, he's been hanging on for a really, really long time to talk about that Gobert trade. Devin, is Wayne still there? Wayne, you got us?
I'm right here, guys.
You have been patient.
First of all, you have a lot of subjects today. First of all, the Gobert trade is a horrible trade for Minnesota because the only three, like, Twin Tower situation that really ever worked, obviously, is San Antonio.
Yeah.
You can make a case for Boston with Paris and McHale.
Well, Houston,
and I'm going to give you a little...
Houston, Sampson, and
I'm going to give you a little... And I'm going to give you a little dap, Bart, with Detroit when they had the Wallace boys.
Yeah.
Because when Ben went out the game, Rasheed played that five. He played that stretch five. Matter of fact, he invented a position, the stretch five. Okay, so it's not going to work. And your question whether or not Jimmy Butler is a superstar, I'm sorry, Amber, the answer is no. He's a great player. He's never been first team NBA. All of the players that Bart mentioned all went first team NBA. Yep. He's only been third team NBA five times. Superstars are supposed to uplift the team. Jimmy Butler only played 57 games this year.
Wayne, do not come and ruin Amber's takes with facts.
Wait, listen, that's fine, except for there's only so many guys who can be first team all NBA, okay? So
yeah, he's never been it.
Okay. But again, regular season. Superstars
ever.
Don't care about the regular season in this era
games.
Of the NBA.
He only played 55 games.
Jimmy Butler is reminiscent of that. I'm changing the subject here on you and Wayne. We do have some breaking news on our way out of this segment. Rafael Nadal, he has withdrawn from the Wimbledon semifinal due to an abdominal tear. Apparently, he had a 7-millimeter tear in one of his abdominal muscles. He did try to warm up and play
it up.
Through it today. It ain't happening. Nick Kyrgios advances to the finals now.
Aaron Hicks? He can't muscle through
there.
A little bleach.
7-millimeter tear. It sounds rough, Bart Scott.
I played with no ligament in my big toe.
These football players,
I had no ligament. My toe was in the air. My toe was in the air doing a peace sign for 13 games. I had to do total.
Hockey players would scoff at that.
It was a big hockey players play with broke, no Achilles tendons.
Yeah,
no.
they're extra wild out there.
Philip Rivers played with no ACL.
Coming up next, we will continue to take your calls to wrap up the show. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
The Bears are positioned for a future relocation from downtown Chicago to the suburb of Arlington Heights in order to build a new world-class stadium. But the Chicago mayor says not so fast and is proposing the city make its own renovations to keep them in town. Apparently, putting a dome over Soldier Field would be part of those potential renovations that they're considering. What are your thoughts, Bart? Obviously, you played in the league for a really long time. Like, do you care if you're playing in an open-air stadium? Is it not football if you're not exposed to the elements? What are your thoughts on this?
It's not that. It's that, listen, I don't care which what I play in. Some people prepare, you know, I don't really like domes. I don't like the air that gets in the dome and the pressure sometimes in those type of environments. But I think really where Chicago is, because I remember when I was in college in 2002, before that, like in 2000, I believe that Soldier Field was renovated for 2 years as the team played at the University of Illinois. So they've done that. So you keep trying to kind of re-improve on a structure that wasn't built to handle modern day specs. And so you talk about, you know, Chicago, when you go and you get Chicago Bears film, they're the only film that you get that's filmed from the sideline because they don't have the technology to film from behind. So they go from sideways. So it's like the weirdest film that you get. And that's because that's an old building. And then sometimes we see Lambeau Field renovated. They're able to get it down and pull it off. But this would be the third renovation. I think sometimes you have to move to a location. You have to build up the specs so that you can attract other things. Now, it would be a shame because that is such a historical landmark. But I remember when Tiger Field was tore down. And that was one of the original, you know, baseball, you know, when you think about Wrigley and you think about the Boston Red Sox Fenway. You know, it's just sometimes it's hard to say goodbye. And I think the city of Chicago is trying to hold on because it brings so much business and revenue for the city of Chicago. And, you know, when you look up, when they leave, that revenue and those businesses will suffer.
Yeah, they're trying to do a whole revamp and then sell the naming rights again. A dome, though, would require taxpayer money. It would cost something like $400 million to $1.5 billion just to make that stadium a dome. It's a 100-year-old stadium, to your point. Like, at some point, how many times can you just revamp it before you do have to move on? It's a 100-year-old stadium. So, of course, if they are able to keep it, though, like you said, it all comes down to money. They're trying to find a way. And it extends so far beyond football if you have a dome over that, because it's all the other events that you can host there.
NCAA
it's not really
tournament.
Exactly.
WrestleMania,
wrestling. Like, it's not just
concerts.
Football that you can sell that for. And so then you can do it far more year round in Chicago. So presumably bringing more revenue there. It's an interesting concept. I'm just not sure it's going to actually fly. We are coming down the stretch here on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Han. You can tweet to us at BartScott57, at Amber W Sports. We're going to get back to some of your phone calls. You can give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN across all ESPN Radio platforms. Martin is in Kentucky. Martin, you have been patient. What do you have for us on Jimmy Butler?
Here's the deal. It's levels to the stage of superstar. And first you're a star, then you're an all-star, and then you're a superstar. And based on that right there, it's only a handful of those in the NBA. And Jimmy Butler's not one of them. As you get, I give you Steph, I give you LeBron,
Giannis.
I give you KD, everybody else.
Whoa, Giannis.
Wear the bracelet.
Giannis?
Oh, yeah, definitely Giannis. Yeah, but everybody else, they don't get to wear the bracelet in the club. Don't go VIP. They get a little ham sandwich. That's about it. So, and the thing is, people are passing out this all-star, I mean, these superstars like it's Halloween candy. No, you got to get to the finals. You got to get to a game seven.
Jimmy's done the finals thing. He's done the all-star thing, six or seven times.
But the talent's not there. The ceiling isn't there.
Yeah,
we don't look at him and say, man, he's special at this.
I don't
like Giannis. He doesn't have a special trait. He's a good two-way player.
Jimmy Butler, he's a hot song. I need a catalog. He's a hot song. I mean,
he's basically
Martin has him being a one-hit wonder.
He's bust a move. If you want it,
He's definitely not a one-hit wonder when he's taken multiple teams to the postseason, he's taken this Miami Heat team to an NBA Finals in his first season with the team.
Amber, what's wrong with just being really good? Chauncey Billups was a leader of a team.
But that I think y'all want to make superstar generational. Like, if you're only willing to have the conversation about KD and LeBron like that caller was, then you're talking generational player. Or even Giannis. You're talking generational, not superstar.
We said Jokic. We said Kawhi. Right? We said Kawhi, but Paul George isn't that guy. But Kawhi is. Kawhi gets to come
I'm fine with Kawhi being on that list. But I think this comes down to how many players you want to put on the list.
Jimmy Butler, that's what I'm talking about. She's dressed in yellow. She says, hello, come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You go over there without a second to lose. Don't just sit there, bust the move. You got it, Amber. Huh?
I don't like any of this. I'm getting zero support, by the way, on the call in
line.
But
you got those duff goggles on. Like, you seeing through eyes of, like, your children. Because that's you speaking emotionally.
Nick is in Ohio. Nick, we are up against it, so be quick. Is Jimmy Butler a star, a superstar?
I hear you. No, I love Jimmy Butler. I'm a massive Detroit Pistons fan. So, Bart, shout out to you, Sup Mooch, and all the Pistons fans up in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot take Jimmy Butler as a superstar. I know that last caller called a few minutes ago talking about not being on an all NBA team. I think you could have made a case for him with Pascal Siakam to get on a third NBA team, but he's only played over 70 games a couple times in his career, 20 points per game. He's a star for sure. A dog in the playoffs for sure. I would take him all day long.
He's DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan. Bart Scott.
DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan's been multiple all-star.
Doing so well. Oh, please. DeMar DeRozan. I mean, listen. That's disrespectful. Bart Scott.
DeMar DeRozan?
DeMar DeRozan is coming off of a great season. DeMar DeRozan isn't the man on a team taking them to the NBA Finals.
Hold on, whoa. He was the man when he was in Toronto.
Kyle Lowry was the man. Who was there when they actually won a championship? Get out of here with DeMar DeRozan being the number one on that team. That's fine. It wasn't DeRozan either.
Matter of fact,
it was Lowry who they kept, don't forget, before they traded away DeRozan. So get out of here with DeRozan. DeRozan's never been the number one on a championship team. That's Jimmy Butler.
Oh, Jim Butler was the number one on a championship team. Oh, I forgot.
Conference finals in the last 3 years. He's been to two of them.
Oh, he went to
this
the finals.
This is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Han. I don't know if Bart Scott's going to ever have you back
and
again.
You're wishing
but
somebody
it has been
you to
fun.
Condition. Got no money.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.